because almost all of you preachers have been basically where I'm at today. And you've wanted your congregation to be patient, right? Right? You've told them the roast won't burn, right? Come on, more of you have said that. I know you hate to admit it right now because the shoe gets on the other foot. I want to try to preach to you today if the Lord will help me. I appreciate the opportunity. It's an honor. When they call you about preaching in this meeting, you feel good for about 5 seconds. You think, wow, they want me to preach at the minister's meeting. And then after that, it's all downhill. And you start feeling the pressure of it all. But I appreciate being in great company. I really do. Amen. I've been around these churches, and you, some of you, I know you don't know me, but a lot of you do, since I was just a little bitty kid. And I feel honored to be among you. I really do. Proud to have my wife with me. We've celebrated 35 years of marriage. And so it's been a wonderful time. Thank you very much. If you need my address to send gifts, I'll give that to you later. Amen. Appreciate Brother Ingram, Brother Ralston, and all the work that others that are involved with them do in having this meeting. And I will try to dispense with any further preliminaries and try to preach to you today. Amen. I was not being frivolous about the way God moves. I was after the fact kind of teasing Brother Gentry about having Brother Webb know ahead of time what his text was going to be and have everybody stand and read it twice before he ever got up here. And Brother Prescott failed in only one point. He didn't have you stand and read it. He read it. Both of them. So it kind of made me feel bad, but it really kind of made me feel good. The only bad thing is if I don't do good, it's all totally my fault. Because obviously God has something he wants to say. So I want to read two places to you today. I want to read from the book of Amos chapter 8. Verses 11 and 12. And then I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Man, I'll tell you what. You preachers know. There are times you wrestle, struggle, and pray. And you feel like you just can't get a hold of anything. But the Lord laid this on my heart months ago. And I've just... I felt the burden of it. I hope I can preach it to you today. And I hope you will still like me when we're all done. Amen. If you don't like me already, it won't matter. But if you do, I hope you still do when I'm done. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The elders which are among you, I don't think that's just elders by age, obviously. You know that, right? It's a place of leadership in the church and ministry. The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your word that was already preached to us with anointing and power. Thank you for moving by your spirit like you have. And oh, we honor your presence, Lord, and I pray you'll help me today to preach what you've laid on my heart. Speak it to our hearts. Help us to have receptive ears and hearts today, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I know there have been times that we have preachers, and I probably myself have said, that verse says there's a famine for the hearing of the word. That means we're going to be putting it out there, and people don't want to hear it. And I admit, in a way, that is definitely true. There are people who don't want to hear it. It's there, but they don't want to hear it. But it's pretty obvious, you know, that this text and the way it's worded and written is that there's going to be a day when there are people who need to hear the word of God, but they can't find anyone preaching it. They can't find anyone proclaiming it. I mean, you know, just think about that word famine, all right? When you think of the word famine, when have you ever known of a situation described as a famine when there was all this food all out there available and nobody would eat it? And they said, oh my goodness, we're having a famine. Whenever you hear the word famine, you automatically think of a situation where there are people that are hungry, but there's no food. So in this matter, preachers, we aren't going to be able to pass the buck. It all comes down right here. Amen. We have to take our personal responsibility as preachers and not be part of the famine. Amen. I want to preach to you, if the Lord would help me today, on fighting the famine. Hallelujah. Let me talk to you about preaching today. Amen. I want to talk to you, if I can, about the place of preaching. I'd like to talk to you about the price of preaching. And then, if I could, I'd like to finish up with the power of preaching. Amen. I know that a lot of times we have said, like has already been said in this meeting, we tell young people, well, it's not all behind the pulpit. Bless God, there's a whole lot more to it. And I've pastored long enough to know that that is true. But I do believe that what I do behind my pulpit counts for the most in my ministry. I'm not talking about my personal character. That obviously does. Amen. But I wasn't called just to sit in my office and talk to people about their problems. I wasn't called, amen, to do a lot of all those other things maybe that I do. I mean, those are side things, amen, but I was called to preach. But we're living in a day where preaching is discredited by men. It is disrespected. It is despised. It's considered old-fashioned. It's relegated to the past and considered to be an obsolete method. Most churches, most would be the right word. Amen. And most organizations have shifted their focus from preaching to entertaining. They find preaching boring. They find preaching tedious. They find it condemning. They want their church to be user-friendly, which means for the most part, they're going to strive to entertain and please everybody who comes. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to convict anybody. They don't want to condemn anybody. They don't want anybody to feel guilt, even for sin. I don't subscribe to the modern idea about church. I subscribe to the Bible concept of church. Amen. Church was the assembly of the saints. Amen. They came together to worship God, to give Him glory and praise. They came to hear His word taught and preached and expounded with passion and conviction and anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those saints who gathered in there, they were instructed in doctrine and in righteousness. They were rebuked for wrongdoing, but they were corrected for well-doing. The church was a place where the lost heard the gospel of Jesus and where sin was condemned and Jesus was magnified and the cross of Calvary was preached as the only means of salvation. Amen. Church was a place for preaching. Sometimes in studying the book of Acts, we get so caught up with the acts, we get caught up with the events and the miracles, and we bypass the sermons that are in there. Did you ever study the book of Acts by reading the sermons in the book of Acts? Peter and Paul knew how and weren't afraid to preach. It didn't matter who their congregation was. I've heard people criticize Paul on Mars Hill and that make it sound like he tried a different method. You read that sermon he preached. Amen. He didn't back down on what he believed. He stood in front of all the intellectuals and he preached the gospel. Hallelujah. And here's the reason why preaching is discredited by men, but preaching is distinguished by God. Hallelujah. Amen. It was God that ordained the preaching of the gospel. You know, Paul was criticized. If you've ever been criticized, you're in good company. Paul was criticized by the Corinthians. You know, they were getting divided up. And they criticize him because, you know, he didn't baptize people like the others did. And now if you're going to get bent out of shape about this, don't come to me about it, because I didn't say it. Paul said to them, I wasn't called to baptize. I was called to preach. Amen. I'm not going to balance that all out. I can't do that all day long. We'd be here forever. We know he baptized people with water and believed in that and taught about that. But his calling was to preach the gospel. Amen. He said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Hallelujah. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It was God who chose the method of preaching. It was God who ordained preaching. It was God who instituted preaching. Paul said the Jews want a sign. They wanted the sensational. And the Greeks wanted wisdom. They wanted the intellectual. Guess what they both got? Preaching. Hallelujah! You got people who all they want is the sensational. You got some in the crowd, all they want's intellectual. I tell you what, you give them, get up behind the pulpit and give them preaching. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I believe it's important. The word preaching was first used of John the Baptist and then of Jesus Christ himself. And there are at least six different Greek words that are translated into a form of the word preach in the New Testament. Caruso, 61 times, meaning to preach or to publish or to proclaim. Kerygma, 8 times, preaching. Agelizo, 55 times, preach and declaring good tidings. Laleo, 6 times, speak, say, or preach. Dialogomai. Didn't know I knew Greek, did you? 2 times, meaning dispute or reason. And logos, the Greek for word, used for preaching. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, God has distinguished preaching. Don't be embarrassed to be a preacher. Don't feel out of date and out of time to be a preacher. Oh, we're in a famine in America. Lots of music. Lots of worship bands. Lots of singing. Lots of drama. Lots of dramatic presentations. They got ballet and dancing going on. One day I was visiting my dad. Dad said, son, you ain't going to believe this. I said, there's so-and-so's church. They're doing karate. Karate worship. I said, you know, Dad, that's one I had never heard of. We investigated a little bit. It was ballet. He just got it mixed up. But. You know, there's probably a church somewhere that's got karate worship. I don't know. I mean, those churches, man, they got the smoke and the lights, and the church is designed like a theater. Yeah. They all come in, sit in the dark. Yeah. The only lights are shining up on the platform or putting on a show. Yeah. When they do have a minister, he dresses in a pair of jeans, if they're lucky, because a lot of them are wearing their Bermuda shorts. They sit up on this high, kind of a high bar stool kind of looking thing, got their shirt tail hanging out, got a gold necklace on their neck. They're drinking coffee. Maybe got his wife sitting up there with him. They talk a little bit, you know, tell a few humorous stories and anecdotes and bring God or the Bible in there somewhere. And then they say, we had a clip for a popular movie we're going to show. They put a big screen out, show a part of a popular movie. It's out in the theaters. And they talk about how relevant they are. I'm only 56, but in this regard, I'm very old-fashioned. Amen. I refuse to follow the trends of the worldly church and the mega church and the electronic church. I believe we must uphold the place of preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Preaching may be discredited by men, but it's distinguished by God. Brothers, we must fight the famine. What do you say? What were you called to do? Were you called to preach?
Yes, sir.
You're not one of those who feel like you have to entertain everybody, do you? Have you added some new category to the ministry gifts Jesus Christ gave the church? At last count, the ministry gifts that Christ gave the church, there were five of them. The apostle, he was a preacher. The prophet, he was a preacher. The evangelist, he was a preacher. The pastor, wow, guess what? He was a preacher. The teacher, maybe different style, but guess what? Preacher. Nail them all down, my friend. Amen. God gave preaching to the church as a gift of God. Amen. We don't need a new method or a new program or new enlightenment or new philosophy. Amen. What we need is for the church of Jesus Christ to be filled with preachers. Hallelujah. Don't demean what you do as a preacher behind your pulpit. Don't take it for granted and take it lightly. Don't do everything else with your zeal and let the preaching take what's left. Matthew Henry said, the Bible without a preacher is like a well without a bucket. I know everybody out there thinks they know everything we know, but they don't. Sometimes my children thought they knew everything that I knew, but they didn't. And they still don't. Take that, kids. Hallelujah. I don't get up and brag about myself and boast about myself, amen, in my congregation. But I understand, amen, that here I'm going to get ahead of myself. But, amen, there is a call that comes from God for a preacher. And the true called preacher, the God-called preacher, amen, he has wisdom and knowledge that comes from God. Hallelujah. There is a price for preaching. If you're going to preach the gospel with power and anointing of the Holy Ghost, it's going to cost you something. We all know that. And maybe, I don't know, that may very well be the main reason why preaching is so disrespected and discredited today. Because a lot of them, they don't want to pay that price. To them, it's like a celebrity spot. But they don't want the price that goes with it. Genuine preaching starts with a divine call. Well, I tell you, Brother Gentry gave some amazing words of wisdom here yesterday. Amen. And I know there's some of you out there joked around, said, boy, I figured out what's wrong with me. I wasn't even called to preach. You were kidding, I know. But you got to be called, or you're not a preacher. You can't be called by your dad or your mom or a board or organization or a pastor. Pastors can't call anybody to preach. Come on, guys. Amen. That call comes from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to have a divine call of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. Spurgeon told his students right off the bat, if you can do anything else besides preach, go do it. Amen. Not trying to discredit preaching, but let them know, amen, your heart and your life and your burden and your vision's got to be in it. You got to feel that necessity Paul felt when he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. There's a calling and there's a commitment that goes with that. Amen. This is not just an occupation. This is not a career choice. I didn't sit down with a counselor at high school and say, hey, what do you think I ought to be? Let's talk about future career opportunities. Let's talk about advancement, and let's talk about money. You can tell I didn't talk to the counselor about this, can't you? Because any counselor who knows anything wouldn't send you into preaching to get money, that's for sure. We got enough. I'm not belly aching, but you know, this is not the wealthiest thing in the world. Amen. I didn't sit down and get career advice. I heard a divine call from God. Matter of fact, I already had a predisposed feeling against being a preacher. I grew up in a preacher's home, and my dad never made it feel like preaching was a drudge, but I knew a lot of the stuff they went through, and I thought there's got to be an easier way to live than that, you know? And there's got to be ways to make more money and have more stuff than that, and I wasn't going to do that. But God changed it on my life and put a call on me, amen, and it requires a commitment. It is a calling that consumes your spirit and your life. There must be a separation from the world and to the Lord. Amen. There must be preparation of one's heart through prayer and devotion to God and through the fullness of the Holy Ghost. There must be preparation of one's mind by studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. We need to be immersed in the word of God. Amen. We must be careful not to spend more time in the books of men than in the books of God. Amen. And please, don't go out here and say I preached against preachers using books. You know better than that. I know you felt like I got under conviction, that's why I sold a whole bunch. But the fact of the matter is, my wife convinced me it was time to remodel my office, and I balked because it's such a nightmare to do that. But when I finally got forced to admitting it needed to be done and got into it, I realized I need to call all that out. So I gave you guys a blessing, some of you. You all need to be thankful as I digress for a second. That Clifton is my first name, but I go by Dwayne. My dad never sold a hardback book for $2 in his life. Not even to me. So thank God those were Dwayne Gallagher's books out there. Amen. Don't get so immersed in everybody else's books you forget the Bible. Amen. You realize how vital it is that a preacher knows the Word of God? Man, I'm going to tell you what, I feel passionate about that. And I actually can't help but wonder why there have been some in our own movement who have despised and degraded Bible schools. I got no axe to grind. I don't get any money from any Bible school, not Export or OBI or Heritage or any of them. But for goodness sake, why should we despise and degrade a Bible school education when it's not a liberal worldly one, amen, but based on the Word of God with holiness standards and sanctified living? I know going to Bible school don't make anybody a preacher. I know that. I'm smart enough to know that. Only God can make anybody a preacher. But if you don't go to a Bible school, you still got to go to the school of the Bible. Are you with me on that? Amen. I hope you didn't get off my bandwagon right there. Amen. I'm just telling you, we should not despise a deeper study of the Word of God. That is not a disadvantage, for goodness sake. It's a blessing and something to be appreciated. Amen. We're going to have to study the Word of God to be able to be a workman that needs not be ashamed. Many of you have probably read the account, I don't remember the men's names, but an older preacher had been invited by a younger preacher to come preach for him on a Sunday services, and he talked the older minister into going out with him on Saturday on a fox hunt. So they went out riding across the fields, just one of those leisure sports, you know, and they were sitting quietly watching the fox get into its den. And the older preacher said to the younger preacher, "If I were a fox, I could hide and you'd never find me." And the young man said, "Oh, yeah? Where?" And he said, "In your study." Remember, preachers, preaching is not all in the delivery. The content is very important too. Stay with me now. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, we might as well be perfectly honest A lot of times we all kind of get these preconceived ideas and we get bent out of shape about styles of preaching. Some are more demonstrative than others. I remember when I was just a young guy and Paul Marquis came to Illinois. And I mean, the guy crawled all over the platform. He hid underneath the piano like Elijah. And I'm thinking, whoa, man, look at this. This is wild. You know, my dad climbed up on pews all the time. He jumped up on one seat of the church. It was one of those foldable chairs. And it folded up on his leg. And he's preaching, trying to get his leg out of the chair. I understand it. But I mean, now let me let us do. But some of us don't do all that. Are we still preachers? Hey, come on. God uses all kinds of people. And I know we need an anointed delivery, but it's not all in the delivery. A lot of it's in the content. Would you hear me today? Amen. We're called to feed the flock of God. I know there have been times when my kids were balking about eating and we'd get creative and mom would go, zzz. Sometimes you may feel like you had to do something a little weird to get the food in her mouth. I don't know. But you need to worry about what you're feeding them. It's part of our preparation. Hallelujah. And there's consecration to this call of preaching. Separation and preparation and consecration. Amen. Living the holy life that God requires. Amen. A consecration to the work and the will of God, even when it results in difficulties and hardships and maybe what we consider sacrifices in life. There is a price for preaching, but there is power in preaching. Hallelujah. What is it God has ordained that preaching accomplish? What's the purpose of it? It's not for guys like, it's not for us to make names for ourselves. You know that. This is not personal glory. Preaching is not about us. It's about Him. Amen. What can we expect and what should we expect preaching to do? Well, first of all, we need to know that preaching is about the proclaiming of truth. Men's opinions are fickle. I've grown up in this holiness independent movement all of my life. I grew up in Illinois. I've lived in Pennsylvania, Missouri. I've been in camp meetings. I've lived in Oklahoma. I about forgot that. Accidentally, because there are great people out there. Few too many tornadoes, but other than that, it wasn't bad. I've been in camp meetings all over the country. I've heard all kinds of preaching and all kinds of opinions, and opinions are fickle. Yes, they are. They are changeable. Yes, they are. They're fads. Come on now. There are fads among preachers that come and go. Amen. There are popular ideas that fly high like a hot air balloon. And next thing you know, they're dropping like a lead balloon. Because even religious ideas are constantly changing. Yes, they are. But the Word of God, the Holy Ghost said today, hallelujah, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Glory to God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Amen. We must preach the Word of God, for it is truth. And the power of preaching is seen in the proclaiming of the truth. Preach the Word. Hallelujah. If a great part of your preaching is only your opinions and your beliefs and your ideas and your requirements and the way you want things to be, you're not fighting the famine. If all you can preach about with real passion are your personal preferences and some pet subjects, you're not fighting the famine. Amen. I tell you what, we need to preach the great themes of the Bible. Creation. Man, that's awesome, isn't it? What about the tragic theme of sin? How about the wonderful theme of redemption? What about grace? Man, how can we ever exhaust the riches of His grace? What about the sobering theme of judgment and eternity? Man, we need to preach not only the great themes of the Bible, We need to preach the great characters of the Bible. Amen. Like Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Ruth and Samuel and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Esther and John the Baptist and Mary and Peter and John and Paul and a host of others. Amen. We need to preach the great topics of the Bible, like the atonement and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the church and discipleship and election and faith and gifts of the Spirit and holiness and heaven and hell and the inspiration of the Scriptures and judgment and kindness and love and marriage and the names of God and the ordinances of the church and prayer and quenching the Spirit and righteousness and salvation and sanctification and the Trinity, and unity, and victory, and worship, and yielding, and zeal. Man, how can we exhaust the great topics of the Bible? My brother-in-law Ken Lynn said one time, ladies go to the closet, and they stand there with the racks full of clothes, and say, I ain't got nothing to wear. And all the men enjoyed that. He said, but we go to the refrigerator. Open the door. Stuff stacked from top to bottom. Side to side. He said, man, there ain't nothing this house to eat. How many of you preachers own a Bible? How about it, preachers? You got a Bible? Don't you dare tell me that you can take a look at this Bible and say, I ain't got nothing to preach. Come on. Amen. Let me go out on a limb for just a second here. Was that okay? Don't anybody cut it off while I'm out there. It won't take a lot for me to fall. Amen. You realize, man, I got to say this right, because I don't want you to misunderstand me. I believe in praying and getting God's mind for a service or a message. I believe in that. So please, don't go out of here and say, I said preachers ain't supposed to pray for a message or inspiration. I didn't say that. But when we have the full revelation of God's word, the bottom line fact of the matter is, you can really open it up anywhere, seriously. Shouldn't be our method, but you can open it up anywhere and preach the inspired word of God. Amen. Yeah, we need to pray it through. Amen. We need to know God's in it. But for goodness sake, he anointed his word by the Holy Ghost. It came directly from heaven, from the Holy Ghost into holy men, and became the holy word of God. And it's full of truth. Amen. You can preach it from the beginning to the end and always be anointed because it's God's inspired word. If we're not careful, we get bogged down. We feel, I admit, at times as a pastor, I feel like my church is sluggish and I got to be constantly prodding them. And there's been times I got back to my office after church and I felt the Lord prick my heart and say, man, that's all you've been preaching about. How about it? Sometimes we get zeroed in on something, and man, we don't mean to be. But I mean, even good food, if you had the exact same food meal every single day, it don't matter how good it was, you'd get tired of it. Preach the great themes of the Bible. Preach the great characters of the Bible. Preach the great topics of the Bible. And preach Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man, I loved what Brother Holcomb said last night. Really, anything in there you preach, it's still all about Jesus. But man, we ought to preach his deity. He is not just another good man. He is the very Son of God. We need to preach his deity with power. We need to preach his eternal pre-existence. We need to preach his incarnation and his sinless life, his anointed ministry, his substitutionary death, his burial, his supernatural resurrection, his ascension into heaven, his soon return, and the sovereignty mighty of our great Lord. Preach Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. Paul said he preached the whole counsel of God. Fight the famine, brothers. Preach the truth. Preaching is not only the proclaiming of truth, but it's the producing of faith. I admit that our emotions are stirred by stories. And I admit, I've had my faith, I really have, had my faith built by true testimony. I really have. But that faith is only based on emotion. But clearly, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're going to produce faith in your congregation, brother, you've got to preach them the Word of God. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints. Every child of God needs perfecting. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. Amen. Preach the Word because it's alive. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Fight the famine. And I'm closing with this final point. Now, I'm going to tell you, man, the Lord has just worked on me here in 2016 with this. Preaching produces the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about such important gifts as the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And the gift of prophecy. Now, I already told you the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Ghost in its writing, and it's anointed by the Holy Ghost in its preaching. So, the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Ghost when I'm studying it. There is inspiration and illumination by the Holy Ghost when someone is serious about their study of the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. I know a lot of people discount preaching as common or ordinary, kind of like a second-rate thing compared to the manifestation of the gifts. And usually, as has already been mentioned in this meeting, when we talk about the manifestation of the gifts, amen, we are usually referring to only the companion gifts of tongue and interpretation. So please, I can't, again, here I go on a little bit of a limb. Don't cut me down and don't misjudge me. The fact is, preaching may already be operating gifts of the Spirit. The preacher, I was in a service in 2016, in one of our meetings, and the preacher was preaching the Word of God, and all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Ghost. As it's been on my mind, Brother Kevin had been doing articles in the Holiness Messenger about gifts of the Spirit, and he got me, talked to me on the phone one day, and I got stirred up, got thinking about some of that. It was on my mind, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, He is giving a word of wisdom right now. And I remember looking up. I had no way of knowing. God was using that man to speak to somebody in particular in that congregation. And it wasn't but just a couple minutes, and somebody interrupted that sermon with a message in tongues. And I'll be honest with you, I felt grieved. I felt like somebody allowed their spirit to get out of place, because I already felt God was operating gifts of the Spirit in the preaching. And I love this, though. That person hadn't hardly ceased their voice, and a preacher on the platform jumped up to his feet and said, "This is the word of the Lord. Hear my preacher." Amen. God put us right back to what the preacher was saying. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, please, I know I'm the least among you, and I don't want to be labeled wrong. And please don't misunderstand me. I believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost. And I know there are times the Holy Ghost interrupts a preacher. I know that. I know. But a lot of times it's out of order. It's because we're disrespecting the power of preaching. Amen. Think about those phrases. I'm almost done. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. I've always said that signifies that nobody's getting it all. Amen. They're getting a word. They're getting a bit. They're getting a portion.
That's right.
And those gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, are always, as far as I've ever seen in studying, they're always linked with discerning of spirits as gifts of knowing. But man, I'm going to tell you, I really felt the Lord deal with me. That word of wisdom means more than just a bit or a portion. It refers to it being spoken. I believe in my prayer, God can give me a private word of wisdom for my own direction. That is a gift of knowing. And I believe God can give me a personal word, a bit or portion of knowledge. It's a gift of knowing. But I also believe God uses preachers to give those bits of wisdom and knowledge orally. Verbally.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you, I started praying, Lord, use me. I mean, I had prayed to be used in gifts of the Spirit. I have to admit, most of the time, I was asking God to use me to give a message in tongues or an interpretation, because that's what usually happens. And a lot of people say, well, these other gifts are not even happening. And I felt the Lord quick me about that and say, that's not true. You don't always realize when they're happening, but you need to be aware, amen, that the Holy Ghost will use preaching to operate the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Speaking a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, I'm sorry. I got to complete this or I won't feel good about going home yet. Sometimes in our services, a relatively brief and generic demonstration of tongues and interpretation is held in higher regard than a whole sermon preached with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We're sometimes looking for the supernatural, and it's right there. Right under our nose. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I'm almost done, but this has revolutionized my prayer and study. I know God can speak spontaneously, but I've prayed in my study, Lord. Because, you know, a lot of what I'm going to preach, God gives it to me in my prayer and study time. And I'm praying, Lord, let me have an answer for somebody that's going to be listening today. Let me have some knowledge for somebody that's going to be listening today. Let me speak a word of prophecy for somebody that's going to be listening today. Use me in gifts of the Spirit in my preaching, Lord. I'm wanting God to do that. I believe, amen, I'm not just to please my congregation with my style or my manner of preaching, amen, but I am being interested and used by the Holy Ghost to speak the truth of God's word into their ears and into their lives. I want the Holy Ghost to speak through my preaching. He can inspire me in my preparation just as much as he can in my delivery.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We've all had extenuating circumstances where we had to preach at the spur of the moment. And we pled for the mercy of God. And we've gone to the Old Testament Psalm where it says, open thy mouth and I will fill it. But if that's your regular means of preaching, you're not fighting the famine. A mother who's serious about the nutrition of her family does not keep 50 TV dinners in the freezer, rush around all day, do whatever she wants to do, shop, visit, do everything all day long, rush in at 6 o'clock in the evening and say, oh my goodness, I got to feed my family. Here, let's grab them. He grabs all these two of there, stick them in the microwave. Bzz, 30 seconds, boom, here you go, kids. When that happens once every 6 months, nobody's going to complain too much about that. When that happens 3 or 4 times a week, somebody's got a right to complain about that. How about it, brother? Let's stand. I'm done. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us to fight the famine.
Hallelujah. Oh, God. Fill our hearts, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill our minds with your Word. Help us to grasp at least a little bit of the place that you have given preaching. For you have distinguished it. Oh, yeah, help us, Lord, not to disrespect and disregard preaching in our ministry. I pray you'd help us to pay the price, Lord. Help us to understand the power that you have made available through preaching. Help us to dedicate ourselves to your work. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a long enough day. Unless you guys feel like it, and you said, have everybody come pray, I'm finished. If it wouldn't hurt to take a few minutes and let this soak in our hearts today. Is that all right? If you need to go ahead and go. Yeah, Sister Ruth, I don't know, if you don't mind, maybe just sing or play something here. I hate to short God's work. By the same token, I hate to hold you well far beyond your endurance. But if you want to spend a few minutes in prayer, let's come find a place to pray. Preachers, let's let God soak his word down in our hearts today. Let him bring a renewing of your calling today. A challenge to your life today. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. Hallelujah.
Long ago, I may not remember nothing but the chorus. Can we get some music?
What is it?
He that has.